So, hey, you can now get the first paperback volume of the Thief in the Night series. This is the transcription series of my conversations with Pastor Brian Wolfmuller about the end of the world. Volume 1, First Last Things, is now available on Amazon.com. And somehow, I'm not quite sure how, it hit number 1 in Lutheran Christianity, even though my account on the inside says I haven't sold a copy yet. I don't know. I'll take it, right? You should check it out, though. You can get these via ebook as well, but for less than the price of each of those ebooks, you can get this nice paperback. And of course, when you support me on Patreon by supporting each episode of the podcast, you also get free PDFs of it that way as well. But you know what's a PDF compared to the paperback? Christmas time, give it to your dispensational friends and see if they never talk to you again. First Last Things, when you search it on Amazon, you're going to have to scroll down a little bit because, well, until it sells some actual copies, I don't think they're going to give it primacy of place. But you look for First Last Things Fisk or First Last Things Wolfmuller, it'll show up for you right there. You can probably find it on both of our author pages as well. Consider checking it out, giving it as a gift for Christmas and whatnot. Well, this may well be the worst episode of Raw ever. And so you're just going to have to bear with me. It's kind of planned, but kind of not. It's sort of last minute and planned all at the same time. We're going to be all over the place today. And it's not going to be much Bible. My apologies. We'll probably get a little somewhere, but we're coming back to Bible. That's part of the plan. But I need your help. I need to be able to think out loud and maybe have a response or two. And I don't know if I'd say I owe you an explanation, but I want to explain some things and then kind of see where that goes. So it's not, can I stutter more? Maybe that'd be funny. It's, it's not going to be what you're normally used to as Raw. And, well, just bear with me. I promise I'll be back next week in top form. So, with that, I really do hope that you enjoyed the last two weeks of interviews. I have to say that was some of the most fun I've had doing radio-ish stuff in a very long time. And it's got me thinking about how to make that happen more often. It's not very easy because to get the kind of quality conversation that both of those episodes were, it does, well, I shouldn't say that. The one with Pastor Wolfmuller was not in studio. It would have been better if it was. I guarantee that. And the one with Katie, with Miss Sherman, it was in studio. And that quality level of conversation and audio comes from being able to be face-to-face with somebody. And so the question a little bit is, how does Raw, well, it's not going to be Raw. It's the last episode of Raw. There's no more Raw ever after this. Oh, did I already say that? Yeah. No, I didn't. Oh, I gave it away. Oh, we'll come back to that. How does Raw do that more? Hey, you know, how do I travel to interview someone, right? That's a big undertaking. But it's sort of where I want to go. Not every week. I don't want to get away from the Bible study. But to be able to bring more content like that where myself and another Christian or even non-Christian are able to talk about things that are of life, of first article, but not without avoiding the spiritual side of the conversation. And that, of course, would be a lot more difficult to do with a non-Christian. I've been thinking about how that would look, how it would have to be kind of gentle and probing and probably with a little bit of like, and after this, I'm going to tell my audience about, you know, how we think about this as Christians. I'm not trying to insult you, but, you know, here's where I disagree kind of thing. You know, I don't know. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know if it'll ever happen, right? It's just like an idea. It's just a dream sort of here. But like to be able to bring more of that kind of, well, frankly, raw conversation with real people about real life and its impact on our real faith. Well, that inspires me a little bit. But that's not why, you know, this is going to be the last episode of Raw. It's just because it's time to try to brand this thing something more permanent. 83 episodes in, and, you know, the title is still something I just randomly made up one afternoon while trying to jot down some verbal notes about the book of Revelation. and now it's stuck. I don't know how well known it really is yet. When I'm out and about and people come up to me, not locally, right? But when I'm out at like a Lutheran event somewhere or speaking somewhere and people come up to me and they say, "Hey, Pastor Fisk, I'm a big fan." It's like, "Oh, cool. Hey, how you doing?" And it inevitably is, "Love your videos. Love Worldview Everlasting." And I'm like, okay, so it's been over a year now since I've made a video. Over a year, is it two? It's just a year. God, time does fly though, doesn't it? It's been over a year. I'm not making any more new videos. Not with Worldview Everlasting, at least. Worldview Everlasting is getting close to finishing tying up the knots of the 501c3 stuff. That is, man, is that a knot? But people think that's what I'm still doing. And so it makes me wonder. It's like, well, do you even know about my podcast? And sometimes I'll ask it, do you know I have a podcast? No. Oh, no, I haven't heard of it. So Raw, like, it isn't really known, right? Although we're doing well. We think around 700 downloads or so on average with the primary show, which is great. That's more than double from last spring. So we're doing great, right? It's slow growth. That's what you want. But 83 episodes in, now or never, it's time to come up with a name that makes sense, with a name that's going to stick around, with a name that can last. And sadly, Worldview Everlasting is not going to be that name because that one got used. Yeah. So I've been digging on this thing, you know, I don't know, man. Well, since I realized that I had to reboot and do something else, had to go a different direction, and trying to come up with what would be the thing I would want to do. And this is twofold, right? The Worldview Everlasting challenge was twofold. But the big one, maybe I shouldn't say twofold. I mean, the name change, part of it is just branding and just marketing. So there's that. That's one of the folds. It's not even that big a fold. The challenge with Worldview Everlasting was that I began an organization without knowing what I wanted to do with an organization. And then the success of the videos themselves and the various personalities, and my own included, kind of riding that wave, were sort of drawn into becoming something that at the end of the day, I wasn't prepared to become. I don't think any of us quite were. Not in that way. We all had these different kind of visions or goals, but we were caught up in this thing that happened, right? And then we had to figure out what that meant. So I can't speak for the others. I don't want to, you know, ask them. They have their lives. But for me, a lot of this last year has been, well, remembering that the job of a preacher is the one that I do day by day. But then asking, so if I have a side gig in which I'm doing some other thing for the sake of the church, what is that thing? What do I want to do? I mean, I'll tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to spend 16 to 20 hours a week making two 10-minute videos in which the majority of that time is little baby clicks to edit out all the breaths. I did that for 5 years. Oh, and then you got to put in the pictures. So I got some help with that eventually, yeah. But it was like 4.5 years before I got help. And then the help helped quite a bit, but it was still... I'll put this in a different context. So I listen to a number of podcasts that I do really enjoy, and one of them is the Tim Ferriss podcast. I'll go through phases where I'll binge him a little bit. But what he does is he interviews world-class performers, people at the top of their field. They're always really fascinating. It's interesting to see the overlap of those who are pursuing excellence in what they're doing, in their thinking and so forth. And anyway, recently somebody was talking about, I think it was had to do with a TV show as well, that he realized that whatever he did for his first show, he would have to do for all the shows that came after. So if he tried to be what he thought people wanted to see, even if it was a success, he'd be trapped in pretending to be that person, like acting, really, the rest of his career. And so he chose not to do that. And this ended up being fine for him. It worked out great. That was one guy. And then recently, the most recent episode I listened to, the guy said similar thing. He actually was talking about it in the context of dating. This is really interesting. If you really, and I'm kind of past this point in life, I'm married quite happily, but if you are in a young person courting, looking for marriage, looking for love situation, and you really like this girl, right? Because she's cute and stuff. And so you go into your date, you finally get the date or whatever, you go in and you want to impress her. And so you put on a show of trying to be what you think she wants you to be. The worst thing that can happen is that she likes you because she doesn't like you, right? She likes who you're pretending to be. And if that relationship builds, then you trap yourself into pretension for your entire life, right? Potentially. And then, you know, well, what happens when you finally say, yeah, that's not who I am, right? How does that relationship work? Now, one founded on commitment and fidelity, it can work out, actually, through suffering and pain. That's the marriage has a lot of that, too. But so here's, this is kind of the thing, right? So Worldview Everlasting, if anything brought about its demise, ultimately, on my end, it was that I was pretending to be something that I thought the church needed, and I think it did need it, but I couldn't keep doing that anymore. So now, with all, I mean, and it's out there. Those videos are out there, and thank God, people still watch them. They come up and they think, oh, I just found your videos, and I'm binge watching them right now. I was like, oh, that's great. That's like from so long ago, but God bless you. You're getting the word of God. I watched those videos, by the way, recently. I'm using a couple of them for my confirmation, and I just hang my head. Oh, and this is so embarrassing. but it's great. If you enjoyed them, it's fantastic. Yeah. If it's the theological crack cocaine that you need to get your engine going and get you reading a few books, that's fantastic. But now that I'm on the other side of that production world and having to ask, you know, if I have the time to do more, what would that be? And part of me is not convinced I have the time to do more. But if I did, and I should say this, how much of doing more is a matter of whether you want to do it, right? So it's got to have enough imagination. It's got to have enough inspiration for me to want to do it. It can't be something that I have to make myself do just because, and here's the expectation, and maybe you don't share this, but that I put it on myself, the expectation, the Fisk has to be out there making media with theology for the sake of the world. He's going to be out, and it's going to be back, and it's going to be big and good and great, right? And so I got to carry that on my head, and that already is terrorizing my conscience. So it's been an up and down year of trying to ask, whoa, Jonathan, before you do anything, why don't you figure out what it is that you think you could do the rest of your life? And I'll say, I don't think there's any question that, well, it's not raw because we're not going to call it raw. But a long form talking into a microphone that requires almost no editing and can change topic to fit whatever I think is interesting, I can do that the rest of my life. Yay! Of course, is it ever going to be as big or as cool or as universally accessible or desirable or successful as Worldview Everlasting? Probably not. Nah, who knows? I don't know. I mean, again, I listen to Tim Ferriss. The guy's got, you know, millions of downloads every time. It's a 3-hour podcast, for Pete's sake. And those of you who've been listeners to this show long enough, you know I like hardcore history as well, and that I've tried to emulate that. I like emulating that. It's just the amount of work it takes to emulate that is beyond my capacity. But that's a 3.5-4 hour podcast 4 times, right? So imagine instead of, oh goodness, you know, one chapter of Revelation, and you're spending 20 hours on that thing, right? That's sort of how Hardcore History does it. And he's got millions of downloads. So it's not impossible that this can't be successful. But then I got to step back and ask, Jonathan, why do you want it to be successful? Right? Yeah? I mean, the honest answer is do you not want it to be successful? I mean, if you don't, that's kind of weird, right? So it's just humanity in me. But I'm trying to, you know, go a level deeper on my humanity. I don't want to just let my flesh tell me what to do. I don't want to just be driven by my ambitions. That's not what wisdom in Scripture teaches us. Yeah. So I keep coming back and asking, so why do you want to do this? What is real success as opposed to the measuring stick of Worldview Everlasting. Because I will always live under the shadow of Worldview Everlasting in my own head. God bless you for still listening to me. Thank you, because it makes me feel like I'm not a complete failure. I feel like a complete failure because of how great it was, because of how big it was, and because of how small I am now. Yeah. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with feeling like a failure. There's nothing wrong with admitting that the times caught you up. Tangent. Because I got to admit this. If you don't know this, you need to know this. Worldview Everlasting was not a success because of the talent of Jonathan Fisk, nor because of the value of the Word of God. Now, both of those things are, oh, God willing, there's some talent. Both of those things are there in the videos to some extent, if embarrassing, the talent part. But the reason those videos took off when they did is because I was in the absolute right place at the absolute right time to have the dumb luck of the universe on my side. So there was a time at the early stages of Facebook's adoption into American society. I mean, today we almost can't imagine life without it, which is sick in some ways. But in the early days, Facebook's biggest threat to itself and what its decriers would point out as an organization is that it had no way to monetize. It couldn't make money. So you had a bunch of people that would sign up for it, but who's going to pay for it? And so they had all this investment in it, and that's how they were doing it initially. But they had to, if they were ever going to go public, which they have now, they had to be able to show that they could make a profit with this thing. And their strategy was sort of clever. It was long term. It was long thinking. It was chess. I mean, I think they did a lot of things. You remember they had stuff on the side you could click, and that's not really there quite as much anymore. But what they did was they first demonstrated their ability to promote things for people to see without people knowing it was being promoted to them. And the way they did it was this. So we're all on Facebook in 2010, right? 2011. And we don't know much. Issues, et cetera, revolutions going on. Harrison's just been elected president. Was that 2009 maybe? Right. So in your Lutheran context, right, we don't have smartphones quite. I mean, they're there, but they're really new. Apps are just kind of a thing. Memes don't even exist yet. You know, that kind of stuff. And Facebook decides as an intra-organizational marketing decision to take any shared post, you know, what are you doing today, that if it's a video, and to throw it out further to make sure it shows up in feeds. So that if you just shared some words, you know, I ate breakfast and like my day, right? The odds of you getting seen by other people, and by other people who were not necessarily in your close friends list, was much, much less than if you just put up a video. Didn't even have to be a good video. It could be a cat video, you know? And so Worldview Everlasting starts like right at that moment. And so what happens is the things I'm sharing are getting pushed by Facebook intentionally. Not like just mine, but all videos, as a tool for them to demonstrate to future investors that they can make people see things. So today they don't do it with video; they do it when you pay them to do it, right? So if I were to start a video company right now and just start sharing videos, it would not do. It could not do what happen with Worldview Everlasting unless I were to pay Facebook to make it happen. Follow me on this? That's the wave we ran into. Now, the saddest thing about the closure is that we still had some of the there was a real wave. The publicity, the market share of knowledge in the Missouri Synod, that was there. You know, the name brand, Worldview Everlasting, that was there. It was known. And my name a little bit with it. And then, you know, the other guys as well. But we can't just make that happen again. Now, to bring this back, how we get on that tangent there, like, I'm still going to live in the shadow of that the rest of my life, right? I guess this is a raw episode, huh? I am always going to feel like a failure because I will always want to prove I can do it, that I can do it again. And it's very unlikely that I do. I mean, I'll give you another example. This one hurt quite a bit, actually. I got my first paycheck for Echo. And I don't know if you haven't read Echo yet, I do recommend it. You don't have to. Like, this isn't like a go by Echo little bit that I've planned. It's just an example. Echo sold, I won't give you hard numbers, but let's see here. I can't do the math quite as well. If Broken sold at a ratio, at the rate, I'm going to try to do the ratio here, right? And the problem is it doesn't really add up into nice small numbers, but the ratio is 4 to 18. So in the first 6 months of Broken's release, for every 18 copies Broken sold, in the first 6 months of Echo, I sold 4 copies. Now, I'll tell you straight up, Echo's a better book by a million miles. But what Broken had? It had World of Everlasting and Facebook pushing videos and memes, right? The memes came along. And now I sit here and I look at Echo and I think, man, what'd I do wrong, right? There's nothing wrong. It's just where history is. It's just luck. It's just luck. The sad piece is, sorry, that sounded funny. The sad piece is that Echo is better, and it is my hope that over time it will just prove that. Because I think what Echo teaches about our catechism is so fundamental and enduring and valuable. It's not that Broken doesn't teach some pretty fundamental, enduring, valuable things, but it's harder to get to them. The images and the metaphors are going to get dated a lot faster. Adrienne Tynes-Dorr actually mentioned that to me, and she did a peer review of the book before it was released. And I improved a lot because of her. Like, it was worse before her comments. But I think her comment still stands. And Gino Reveith actually said the same thing in his public review of the book afterwards. He said it's too bad that it's so filled with pop culture references. Otherwise, it would be a classic. And I had done that on purpose. The goal was to be like unto Worldview Everlasting, right? Kind of get under the radar a little bit. But, I don't know. I don't know if this is, I told you this is gonna be the worst episode ever. I don't even know if it's worth talking about. But it's in my head, right? And the shadow of that now continues to hang over my own, desire to do something still. But then I got to ask the question, how much is my desire to do something still merely my pride in wanting to not believe that it wasn't me? Yeah? You follow? I mean, that's some dark inner heart of Fisk right there. I want to believe it was me. And so it's like, well, then I got to start something and do something and put it out there and be famous again so that I can show that it was me. Even though, and I'll tell you this straight up, first off, I'm not famous. I'm Missouri Synod famous, and that is not famous at all, except for if you're at a Missouri Synod event, and then it's more like infamy. Yeah, it's not more than famous. It's just it's embarrassing famous kind of thing. And honestly, I know the whole world's chasing it. You don't want it. You don't want that attention. You really don't. And I know everyone who's in this seat on a bigger level, they say the same thing, but the hardest thing about being known, this is the hardest thing, is that you don't have enough time to give attention to all the people who would like your attention. And it's not because you don't care. It's that you just literally don't have that much time of the day. Now, the people on real fame levels, Tim Ferriss and whatnot, like they got that through the wazoo, right? I mean, they're getting thousands of emails a day from people they don't know. So they're paying some guy to sit there and read them all and send a form response to most of them. Now, it's not that bad for me. But sometimes it is, right? So like between being tagged in things on Facebook and getting Facebook messages and all that kind of stuff, it just, you can't humanly do it while also fulfilling your other responsibilities. An example, I got an email yesterday and the email just said this. I have no idea who this gentleman was. The email just said, "I would like to talk to you about this video of yours." Two colons and then a link that was like, it was like a YouTube link, but it was also like shortened. So now I'm like doubly like, well, I can't click on, you don't click on a link someone sends you in an email if you don't know who they are, right? So then I'm like, so how much does this guy actually know about anything? Because he's sending me a link in an email. And then the lack of any attempt to say, you know, why, give me a context. What do you want to talk about? What's the point? Instead, he just says, and he puts a phone number there. Give me a call. So now you're asking for what? 30 minutes, an hour of my time, right? To talk about, I don't know, right? And the pastor in me is like, well, maybe he's hurting. Maybe he's in trouble. Maybe I can help him. The pastor in me also is a little too aware of, oh, I don't know how to say this nicely. Sometimes the church draws to itself people with a mental illness tendency, desire for attention and conflict, and they'll bounce from church to church to church in an area. This isn't always having to do with poverty, but sometimes it lines up with poverty and so forth. So there's also like the red flag, the pastor red flag going like, oh, this one looks a little, but here's the thing. It could have been a more normal email, and I still would have probably written back something like, that's really awesome. Unfortunately, I don't have time for a phone call. Right? And then like, I feel like guilty saying that, but like, it's just not possible. As a pastor, in theory, I have 800 plus individual human beings that need my spiritual care and attention. Now, that's a facade because the congregation is not that large. Our attendance right now is around 160, 170. And many of those that are on our lists probably don't belong on our lists anymore. So, but realistically then, I have 225 people who need my spiritual care and attention. Now, just imagine for 1 second, if all of the preaching and work and effort I did in trying to convince them that private confession and absolution is a good thing, if all 225 of those people decided they wanted private confession and absolution once a month, that's 225 hours a month. Wait, how many hours a week do we work? 40? So 100. There's only 160 hours of work in the month for most people. Now, granted, you can do it in 15 minutes, but you need overlap, right? It would be a full-time job. Right? It'd be a full-time job. So imagine now that kind of care. I mean, forget private absolution. Just have conversations, right? And now open it up to the world. And that's what, one way or the other, that's what fame does. So I don't want it. I'll say it that way. Forget what you can want it if you want. I don't want it. But then we're drawn. Aren't we? We're so narcissistic. We're like, but I do want people to like me, right? And then the flip side of this is I do like teaching, period. I like, I think Wolf Mueller said this once really well. It was a private conversation between him and me. He said, you know, Jonathan, people think we're smart, but that's not it. We're not smart. We just have a particular gift for being able to swallow some information and then spit it back out in a way that everybody can understand. That doesn't mean we're like able to do the math, right? Or invent things or whatever. We're just good repeaters. And that's sort of what a teacher is a repeater. And frankly, I enjoy that. I really enjoy finding knowledge, making connections, and sharing it. And so I do want to do that. And whether fame or it's just talking about fame as fame makes it sound so narcissistic in itself. Whether being known is part of that, well, it has to be. That's the frustrating thing. That's the threatening little piece caught up in it. Is that you can't have a public presence without being a public presence. One of the things I despise this about Facebook. So, because like the point of letting people friend you and friending them on Facebook so that you have so many friends, for me, has always been that's more people who are going to see the media, which is the teaching of the Word of God that I produce. Yay. But then Facebook limits it, so you can only have 5,000 friends. And for better or for worse, if you really want to have what you're producing go out, well, 5,000 is it's a hard ceiling, but once you hit it, you kind of want to go past that. You know, you want people to receive it. And so you have to go and you have to create a page, a public person page. I mean, how arrogant does that sound? You know, what makes you think that you have the right to consider yourself a public person? But then you have no choice because you're getting friend requests. So, I mean, this is so stupid. I sit there, you know, they talk about time management. Every week I spend 5 minutes going to my friend requests and looking at the five or six friend requests they build up. They go from five or six to 15 or so. But see, they have to get stored there. I look at the 5 to 15 friend requests that are stored there. And then I have to do the job of trying to figure out if they're spam or not, right? Are you a real person requesting my friendship, or are you a computer bot trying to, you know, whatever? And it's not just pretty girl pictures anymore. That used to be all they did, but now they got like grandmas and there's all sorts of spam. So you got to go through and dig through that so that I can approve the two or three friends to fill the spaces of the three friends that I lost this last week. Because every week I lose between 2 to 5 friends. I don't know. Closed accounts. People hate me. I don't know. I stopped worrying about it. But they're gone. And there's other people who want the friend requests. And so I have to go in and this 5,000 cap. Oh, nope. You can't have more friends. So, but I believe those people are asking to be friends because they want to see, they want to listen to this, right? Well, maybe not this. I said it's the worst episode ever. But you want to listen to what I'm normally doing here. Yeah? Gah. And how much time and energy does that take? And then that distracts you from where I, golly, I'm really off in the woods right now, aren't I? It distracts you from trying to figure out the real thing you're supposed to do, the real thing you want to do, the real thing you believe you can do the rest of your life for the church in the world as a side project that also self-funds, yeah? It's got to be able to pay for itself. So how does that all fit? Where does that all balance? And then the shadow of World of Everlasting success hanging over my head. So it's like, if I don't launch and have it be the best thing ever right away, you know, then it's a failure in my own head. Yeah. All of this, my friends, because I'm trying to rename the podcast. But it's more than that. There's more going on. But I'm asking myself recently, like, if I know the name now, which I think I do, why am I not just going with it? And the answer is because you want to finish the website and you want to make sure you have all the t-shirts and the stickers to buy and you want to this and that and this and that, right? Actually, the website, you want to have the online catechism beginning on the website. So part of the website idea is there'll be a segment called It's Free, which is sort of a place that someone can go as a new Christian and get very, very, very quick, limited introduction. So the first page of It's Free is just a small video about who Jesus is, like 2 minutes or less. Yeah. And then what would be really cool is then make up these business cards that could be handed out that basically just say It's Free on it. And then they have the barcode or whatever on the back. And then, you know, one Bible verse. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. And then that's the entryway so that whoever you are, wherever you are, for me, what made me think of this was there was a time, man, this is still a sad story to me. Last year, 2 years ago, World of Everlasting is still going. I'm working at KFU in St. Louis, but I'm preaching in Rockford every other weekend. That's 4.5 hour drive each way. Yeah. And so, you know, Sunday, 12:30, church is done. I'm getting on the road and I'm driving back at home 4 or 5 o'clock that night. I've been up since Saturday or sometimes Friday night I'd come up. If I brought the family, we'd stay an extra day. But we get come back, turn around, work at 6 a.m. the next morning at KFUO, right? So I'm wanting to get out of town. But I had to stop and get gas. I had my collar on. And this guy comes up to me. And this doesn't happen to me often. I guess I don't wear the collar out that much. But But he comes up to me and he says, hey, I have a question for you. Said, okay, yeah. And he said, why won't God answer my prayer to heal my daughter? Yeah? I'm pumping gas, right? And that's the question. I'm pumping gas and I want to leave town. Like, I got to – actually, it was worse than that. I was actually scheduled to be at a speaking event in central Illinois at like 4:30. So like not only did I want to leave town, I had to leave town. And, you know, I talked about 5 minutes. I gave him the simple answer is that God has answered the prayer to heal your daughter in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And baptism into Christ is the promise that she will rise on the last day. And the problem is we want that promise now, don't we? Yeah. But so I gave him hard theology right away. But then what I wanted was a way to say, now go here and learn this. Yeah. I wanted to pull that card out of my pocket and say, here, it's free. Go watch this. And then have that thing bleed into more. Now, I don't know if that'll ever actually be something I can create. I want to see. And so I'm like holding back on even retitling the podcast because I want to have that thing done. Right. But it just is not the way it works. It's not the way it works. I have to rename this podcast. It has to become something else. And that's where then, so, well, what's the name? What should it be named? Do you like the name? The danger is that, and I haven't told you yet, so if you're like, wait, what's the name? You're right. I'm building tension here. There's an art to this. I'm trying to make you hang on. I don't want you to turn the show off. Give it away. You'll just quit halfway through. Jeez. the question that's still in my head is leaving Raw behind a good decision? Because Raw isn't bad as a title. It's kind of weird and meaningless a little bit. Rev Fisk Raw, okay, so is Fisk talking without editing? Well, that makes more sense. But see, I've always hated, nothing against the guys who do it. To some extent, you kind of have to, but I just don't want to call things my own name. Like, I really, if it's something that's for the church, I really would rather it be about the church. And then, like, I'm me, right? So I'm not that thing. I never was, in my own head, Worldview Everlasting. That wasn't me. It was a thing for the church. And so, you know, Rev Fisk Raw, like, to me, it just sounds self-aggrandizing. Now, whatever. You know, big deal. It's my own pride that's making me want to be humble. So don't think that I'm humble. You know, the danger, of course, is that leaving behind something where you've gotten used to talking about Raw. Maybe I've gotten used to talking about Raw. I'm not sure what Podbean's going to do. I think I can just change the title and it just flips over. But I'm not sure how that's going to work. So there's that side of it. So feel free to reach out to me via, if you're listening, you can have it via my email, rev, that's reverend, yeah, revfisk @gmail.com. Please don't share that outside of just this usage here, though. I get enough anyway. but feel free to email me in response to this. Don't do it on Facebook, please. I won't see it. It's so hard. There's too many notifications. I barely get to those messages once a week as it is, and so forth. So email me, you know, what do you think? Raw. Do I leave it behind? Do I do the new thing? Do I do the new thing plus Raw? So what's the new thing? The new thing's got a long story. Actually, there's kind of two stories. I really wanted to mess with the idea. I mean, I like the idea of our immortality. Don't you? I mean, it's kind of like the point of Christianity, right? To be immortal. So initially, that was the word I was messing with a bunch. But due to circumstances that I would rather not share publicly, every combination of idea I came up with that involved the word immortal or immortality didn't quite fit or looked like bad form. Looked like either competition or some sort of, bad form. You just have to let that be what that is. And so I kept kind of hedging on it. I was like, okay, well, I'll try again. And I flip it back and forth between a couple things and never could get it. And then Wolfmuller again and I were in a phone call. We chat. We're friends. I'm very thankful for his friendship. And we were in a phone call, and I was kind of sharing this. Like, look, I really am frustrated because I have this idea, but I can't use it because it's going to not look good if I do. And then I have this other idea that I don't know, which I don't even know why I brought that one up. But as soon as I said it, he was like, oh, I like that one way better. But then this has its own baggage. So here's story time. My first call out of the seminary was to St. John Lutheran Church in Perryville, New Jersey. St. John Lutheran Church had an average attendance of 25 people. They did not have the finances to afford a pastor. I was being called in conjunction with finances being provided by the district and a sister congregation. And it was my job to, in their words, revitalize the congregation. And I took that call to heart, like any young seminarian does. You don't spend all your time going to seminary so you cannot be authentically interested in doing the church. Like, nobody, right? Even false teachers. They're like, they really mean well. So I go there, and I cannot emphasize this enough. It is truly stunning to me that the church was down a dirt road. And what makes it even more fun is that this was a dirt road in the middle of nowhere. So New Jersey, you might think, oh, yeah, that's a city. No, 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 no. There's a city on the east side of New Jersey. It's basically New York. But you go west, and you are in what used to be farmland, like back in the pioneer days or whatever, but what now is horse country, old money horse country. I mean, there was one supermarket in this area, and it was up on a hill, right? This was like the only strip mall. It was up on a hill. You had to like go through woods and around to get to it, and it's just kind of sitting there. And then there was a little town called Clinton that had a river and a water mill. It's really pretty. A couple coffee shops, a couple stores, stuff like that. It was a beautiful little spot. But Perryville didn't even exist. So St. John Lutheran Church, Perryville, New Jersey. Perryville, there was a restaurant called the Perryville Inn by the side of the road. High-end restaurant. It was all by itself, nothing near it. And then there was, I think it's like a dentist office by the freeway. And then if you went down this one road for a while until you came to a dirt road and then turned left onto the dirt road, you'd pass a school, like a grade school. And then on the left, you'd see this metal tin shack building that they built of this congregation. So, I mean, this is like the essence of not making good decisions when you're planting a church. Like, what on earth? Unless you're trying to not be found. I guess that could have been the thing. So anyhow, charged to revitalize this place and taking it seriously and really caring about the people, even though a number of them really despised me. But I had this idea that maybe being visible wasn't a bad idea. And I suggested that also we couldn't afford the building because they couldn't afford the building. That was a big part of the problem. I don't think it was paid off yet. It was like building or pastor, pick one, was sort of what their finances look like. And so I suggested, well, why don't we sell the building? And I mean, it wasn't that pretty. It was this, again, a metal building. I mean, the inside was not set up terribly. It had a window and stuff, but it wasn't stained glass or anything. Why don't we sell this and let's just make 2 or 3 years good run in downtown Clinton. We'll rent a storefront. Or rent space that is a storefront already. Like we'll just rent Sunday mornings from it, and we'll try to make a run of this thing. We'll try to meet some people. Try to do mission work because that's how I got this call. Was I checked mission work on my little what do you want to do when you're a pastor sheet that they give you your fourth year. Yeah, yeah. But so the idea behind this though, like I built up to it. We did a 3-week series on what it means to be church, on what it means to do mission with the people who have the Word of God at our center of our midst. That's our identity. And then I presented the idea, and within 2 weeks we'd lost 10 people. They just left. They didn't even stay to talk about it. They didn't argue about it. They just transferred to the neighboring congregation, which at the same moment, more or less, told us that they were going to go bankrupt if they didn't cut us from their budget. It was great. What a joy. What a crucible. Oh, my. Anyhow, point of the story? The title, the name for this idea of moving to downtown Clinton and rebooting our Word and Sacrament liturgically centered church in the middle of the last place anybody expected to find it. The name was Project Resurrection. Project Resurrection. That's what I said to Pastor Wolfmuller as a potential name, and he said, I like it. So I think that's what I need to figure out how to transition calling this into. And it's more than that. Project Resurrection is my intention as a public human being, for better or for worse, to make public my looking for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come as loud and as far as possible for the sake of you joining me there. It's my personal project. It's my personal project to let you know about the resurrection of the dead in Jesus Christ. So this will have more than one form. It has that it's free thing. We'll see if I ever get there. I got a couple stickers. They're ready to go. I don't know if I'll be able to link to them. I'll try to link to them. I'm still not sure about whether to use Redbubble or who, and I don't like the way the Redbubble storefront is set up and stuff like that. But stickers, T-shirts. We got the publishing of the transcripts with Pastor Wolfmuller. Paperbacks up. That one will definitely be in the show notes. The first volume of Thief in the Night, an ongoing conversation with Pastor Wolfmuller about eschatology, is called First Last Things. I still haven't seen my copy. I ordered two copies at the same time, one for me, one for Wolfmuller. He got his like a week ago. He's like, it's beautiful. I'm like, oh, that's great. Cool. But I still haven't seen it. So anyway, I'll definitely put that link out. I want to get back into blogging a little bit and sending out an email of some kind during the week. I don't know. But the first step to all of this is letting it not be as big as I want it to be. And just letting it start right here with what already is continuing, what still exists, which is I'm talking, you're listening. I'm teaching, you're learning. I'm having conversations, you're a fly on the wall. All for the sake of your resurrection from the dead. Because for better or for worse, if you listen this far into this worst podcast of mine ever, least topical or least certainly biblical exegesis, if you listen this far, I have to believe you're listening because you trust me to interpret the times to you, right? You trust me to seek understanding of the present via what the Word of God gives us. So that from Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, from Gospels and New Testament texts, from being the people of God throughout history, time and space, centered around the word which he gives and the promises and covenants he declares, you trust me to look at my world with that as my worldview. Saying this is worldview everlasting, right, as a term. You trust me to look with an everlasting worldview and to speak about it. And so here we are, right? You haven't been put off yet by my talking about myself for nearly an hour, which is stupid, but I needed to do it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Get it off my chest. Be public, vulnerable with regard to what I want to do, but that hasn't turned you off. You're still listening. You're like, oh, this is interesting. Who knows why, for Pete's sake, but you do. You think it's interesting. Okay. So then help me here. The first step is it? Tell me. Is it to just say, this was episode 83 of Rev Fiskra. Next week, Project Resurrection, episode 1? Or is it Project Resurrection, episode 84? Yeah, I can't decide. Is it Project Resurrection? Is it the Project Resurrection podcast? Is it Project Resurrection Raw? Ooh, see what I did there? Yeah. I can't decide. I don't know. But I gotta kick this thing like out the door. This is the 18-year-old boy who won't leave home. Come on. Let's name this thing. So I'm looking for your counsel here. I mean it. I gave you my email earlier. revfisk@gmail.com. It's not that tough, yeah? So tell me what you think about that. Put your vote up. I hate doodle polls. I feel like maybe I should do it that way, but no. If you care enough, then you care enough to write something. So there you go. The last worst episode of Raw by itself. Now, if we call it Project Resurrection Raw, I guess we could still keep calling it Raw. I don't know. I just don't like that one, though. And I feel like I have to, or we should call it the Project Resurrection podcast, because that's like what everyone else calls their stuff. It's like the this, that podcast. So, I don't know. Or is it just Project Resurrection? Just leave it at that. Can't call it PR. What's the PR for PR? That's not going to work. P-Rez is not so cool either. Sounds like a bad pastor name, right? it's got to be Project Resurrection one way or the other. But then how? All right. So I'm looking for your feedback so that next week when we – oh, man. So we're going to go a little deep next week. I'll tell you. I almost did it today, but I was like, no, I need – I'm going to use time for this. So we left off with the dragon, right? Revelation stuff. And we did some talking about the dragon and so forth. But we didn't really get into the horns on his head. And here's the trouble with the horns. You can't understand the horns if you don't understand Daniel. And, well, I don't understand Daniel. So we are going to be, God help us, we are going to be doing a little bit of a deep dive. It's going to take us a few episodes. It's going to take us a little while. Because we are going to go neck deep into the visions of Daniel. We're going to pick up in the middle of the book. First half of Daniel is all the stories you remember. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, lions, and all that stuff. We're going to jump over that. And we're going to go deep diving into the visions themselves. All after chasing after this idea of the horns. The horns on the head of the beasts. But rather than just chase that, we're gonna do the whole stupid thing. So what is this? It's like 5-6 chapters. Kyle Dalich, though, has a pretty decent commentary on it, so we're going to be digging through that. And this is not an abandonment of Revelation. Please understand that. This is to actually get into Revelation. And maybe it's a middle ground, I guess, between what I've been saying, I want to just push through Revelation, and what I've been saying is I want to keep doing the hardcore history style. It still won't be quite that good, but quite that long form, you know, controlled. But that's the plan. That's the plan next week. So, well... The worst part about this, you can't talk back to me. Of course, if you all did it once, it'd be like, you know, a group speaking in tongues. I wouldn't understand anything you said. So I really do. I do pray that you've enjoyed at least getting inside my head here and hearing my struggle in all of this, knowing what my real goal is, knowing what my fears are that are keeping me from that goal. I mean, I wrote that on the top of my to-do list for this week. What are you afraid of? And I know what it is. I'm afraid of not being Worldview Everlasting. That's what I'm afraid of. And I don't mean the actual videos. I'm afraid of not being that big, not being that good. The ego is so in play here. But if any of these other podcasts I listen to about business tell you anything, they tell you that it is the fear of not being successful that stops you from being successful. It's not that just you're just magically going to be successful, but I tell you, the fear will kill your mind. It'll stop you before you start. You know, if you never take a step, you don't end up taking any journey at all. You stay in one place. By the way, fear is the mind killer. You get the reference? It's one of my stickers. Yeah, it is. It is. It's not a very good one, though. The good ones are a little better. The dawn cannot be far is the first sticker that we are we're messing with. And I got a couple of images there. We also have finally getting up some images based upon old Raw episodes. So we have Away with the Atheists, really cool looking piece of artwork done by Catherine Radke. And then another one, God versus the Sea Dragon. Available as t-shirts, stickers, you can put them on coffee cups, stuff like that. That's all via Redbubble, which I'm not sure will be the permanent place of this stuff. But and also, I'll throw this out here too. You can go look at it. It's blank right now, but notomorrow.ninja is where the website's going to show up. Maybe just by telling you it's out there, it'll compel me to do it. It's still got the Weebly outline is based on mountain climbing, so the page about us is still all about selling mountain climbing equipment. So I gotta get that page fixed before we go any further. But really excited about what it looks like. Excited about the new computer's here, for Pete's sake, and it hasn't blown up yet. I've been using it for a week, and it still turns on. The old computer is back too, and it's been refurbished. I got to sell it somehow. But do you want it? It's in theory, it's supposed to work now. They sent it back again. But the new computer's here. So the idea of doing video is still out there. Video is not going to be what it was. It'll probably end up being some sort of live stream, very raw conversation on a weeknight or a weekend night, just kind of randomly there. But got some software plans to make it so it goes to YouTube and Facebook and so forth. So look, I mean, it's fun, right? But it's only fun if it's fun. And that's what I'm still wrestling with. And I don't want to start down a path that I can't maintain for you for more than 5 years. I want it to be like I'm 65, living in a camper somewhere, still doing this, you know, John Connor style. And if you get that connection, then you are a deep school World of Everlasting fan. Cause that goes way back. Hey, I don't have a way to really end this because this is like the most unplanned, unstructured me babbling at you for an hour thing I've ever done. But I do got to get in the car and go to a doctor's appointment. So let me know what's going to happen next week with Project Resurrection. Was that with a dollar? What about five? Would you like my wife's voice back instead of mine? Then consider, patronizing me on Patreon. $1 per show, that's less than $5 a month. $1.25 would actually be $5 a month. $5 per show, that's $20 a month. That's what makes this thing happen. That's what keeps it all going, which allows me to pay for the equipment, including computers that you get to hear funny stories about, and the website, which doesn't exist, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it always makes me feel like it's worth what I'm doing when one of you says, Pastor Fisk, I'm behind you. So head on over to my Patreon account. You can find it in the show notes below. And sign up if you haven't already, because, you know, it's a good work. It'll get you out of purgatory.